Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another segment of Lessons from 2017 on the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. I'm joined today by our guest who will be making his third appearance here, Coach Rob Everett from Bridgewater College. He's the defensive coordinator. He just does an outstanding job, especially in how he prepares his players. I think just does some innovative things, one of the best in the country. Rob, it's great to have you here today, and we're certainly excited for you to be speaking at our national conference as well.
Well, thanks, Coach, for giving me the opportunity again. You guys do such a great job for the game and allowing a vehicle for coaches to learn and to communicate with one another. So we just really appreciate all the things that you guys do.
Rob, we're looking back at the 2017 season, and obviously at this time of year, it's the opportunity to reflect and figure out what went well, what you need to do better, and what you're taking away from the season. So let's start with the idea for you of creativity. For you, you guys really were able to do some things that with young players that made you a leader in a couple of categories in the conference, a couple ones that matter. Turnovers, you're first, and you're second in sacks. And as we said, you did it with a young team. So talk about what you learned about the creativity and how important it is for you in developing your defense.
Really, going back to coaching philosophy is everybody has that foundation of who they are. But I think something that we've done a pretty good job on the defensive side of the ball at Bridgewater is to get outside of our box from a coaching standpoint and really find out what the players are comfortable and excited about doing defensively. And I think that translated into some success, like you said, with some turnovers and some sacks and some defensive explosion plays that led to points and short fields for our offense. And really, I think it's connected to the way that we prepare. We really try to give the players as much information as they can handle in a situation that's comfortable for them through different teaching methods and also through virtual reality to allow them to play fast when they get the opportunity to jump on the field.
So, Coach, give me one or two things that you guys did that were extra creative in 2017.
Well, I think one of the things was for the front. In my experience, you got to keep the front guys happy because they have the job that is the most thankless. So we made some calls on third downs and mainly indefinite passing situations. We just tagged something and we called it magic. I got that from Coach Knott, who used to coach with the Jaguars and the 49ers. Basically what it is whether there's a pressure or a stunt or whether it's just a base pass rush, those guys are allowed to align wherever they want. So they can all be on one side of the center. They can all stand up. They can move around, linebackers, DBs, moving in and out. The coaching point is easy. You just have to get to where the call is at the snap of the ball. So if you're lining up as a wide nine, but you have to get into A gap, you better get yourself in there when the ball is snapped. We don't try to overcoach it, but we do kind of give some directives and suggestions to the players. And what I've found is they really like doing that stuff because it's active. And anytime you get a defensive lineman off his hand, they feel like they're linebackers now and they get excited. So that magic call got some movement for us and made some plays for us on passing situations and third downs. Then the other thing I think we did a good job was bluffing and disguising coverage in the secondary. Players did a really good job of communicating, and our coaches, I think, did a good job of explaining how everything fits together and not allowing a bluff to get your target off, get off your landmark, but also put some stress on the offense and not just be robots out there where every time we're standing here, they know it's this coverage. Offenses are good nowadays, and you have to make sure you're disguising things. So our bluff and disguises on the back end were something that were pretty good. And we gave a lot of freedom to the players on this also. One of the things that I'm going to talk about at the USA Football National Convention is giving players ownership and asking what they're comfortable with in terms of coverage. And that was how we kind of pieced the game plan together towards the back end of the week.
Yeah, definitely. That's a concept that Andrew Coverdale taught me a long time ago, was educated freedom. Obviously, you have to have a starting place. The players need to know what the basic things that you do are. But once they start to get that, I think you could give them some freedoms from there as long as they understand what could get them in trouble. So thinking of those two things, which essentially you're, you know, with Magic, you're bluffing your front essentially, and you're bluffing your coverage as well. What are some general parameters that you give those guys up front and those guys on the back end to make sure that in their disguise that they don't put themselves out of position at the snap of the ball that would get them into trouble?
Yep. Well, we'll start from the back end because that's the most catastrophic if a mistake is there. So the overriding rule is a bluff call should never prevent you from doing your job. So even if the bluff call asks you to get down in the line of scrimmage, but you know you're a deep hole player, we have rule number one in our manual is the common sense rule overrides everything. So, and that's how I think we teach it this way, so the players can really give their ownership on it. But a player will never get in trouble for not bluffing as much as he should if he comes to the sideline and says, hey, this was my job. I wasn't comfortable going in there and showing this. Now, maybe a skill set thing and maybe his position needs to change if he can't do it, or we need to evaluate what we're asking the player to do. But we never let the bluff call prevent us from doing our basic job of the call. And in the Magic stuff up front, this is something new we did this year. And really, it was kind of fun to grow with it because we really put an emphasis on don't overcoach it. And because I was with my defensive line coach, Mike Giancola, and we're saying, well, if we tell this guy to do this on Magic, and we started talking, it was like, hey, we're getting away from the point. So we pulled that thing back. So what we did is we put some practice periods in practice on our third down days that just kind of gave the players the chance to work it out themselves. And really it was just go ahead and figure it out, knowing that, hey, if somebody needs to be contained at some point, if you don't get something right away, kind of get your hands back on and lock this thing out. And so we kind of coached the technique after the snap rather than gave them the assignments before the snap, but still allowing them to have complete freedom on this.
Yeah, I think that's important. It reminds me of a tempo we had, a procedure we had at Baldwin Wallace, and it was just called bounce. And the whole idea was within, you know, our up-tempo procedures that we wanted to shift and move guys, but we also wanted to make sure that in doing that, that we affected the strength of the formation so that the defense would have to adjust and make a call. And you know, the whole idea was to do it fast enough that we were going to give the defense a chance to misdiagnose or miscommunicate what was happening. So the general parameters for it, though, just meant that the guys who were on the outside couldn't switch sides of the ball. That would take too long. And the guys on the inside needed to make sure that they were going from either a 3-by-1 opposite or a 2-by-2 to a new strength. And that's all the parameters we gave those guys. They were allowed to line up wherever they wanted. And what we found is they were probably more creative than we were. And at the same time, it took that thought process off of us, like, okay, what are we going to shift out of this week? And I know for you guys on the other side of the ball, just as it would be for us trying to figure out what you're doing with your adjustments, with your disguises, it'll drive opposing coordinator crazy trying to figure those things out.
Absolutely. And that's ultimately what it is. You got to be able to play fast. And you brought up a good point. The coach needs to be able to think fast also. So as much as we can take off the coach's plate or the play caller's plate and give it to the players, then everybody starts to play and think fast, and that's when good things happen, really no matter what side of the ball you're on.
Yeah, so that's great that it's just one word, Magic, and it allows them to take a small set of rules and go out there and wreak havoc for the offensive line.
That's right, and we did this out of nickel. We did it with five-man pressure. So our overhangs pressuring, for example, but Magic is tagged. So he knows that, you know, for example, our whip pressure, he's a top shoulder guy, but he may line up in a gap and loop it around or come from depth or be right on the line of scrimmage and twist with the defensive end. It was really cool to see those things pop up on film. And we ran our numbers. We were 80% win percentage when we ran Magic. Now that helps. We're doing it on a passing down, so we should be, you know, on third downs, we should be winning those. But got some big plays out of it with some sacks and some turnovers as well, like we talked about before.
It's great stuff, Coach. Moving on, looking back at the season, what's another lesson you've learned as a coach?
Well, I think an important thing, and maybe this has more to do defensively, but Coach Clark, who's my head coach at Bridgewater College, just a phenomenal man and just has a wealth of experience. And he really emphasizes something that we kind of grabbed a hold of on defense, which is just put the ball down and let's go. No matter what happens, no matter what the situation, no matter how unfair it may be, just put the ball down and let's play. And really, I think what I like most about that is that represents life, and it's as close as you can get in a game where it's not going to be fair. You may have just let up a touchdown and you fumble the ensuing kickoff, and how the defense goes back on the field after just getting beaten. Is that fair? Absolutely not. But put that ball down and let's get after this thing. And so I think if you approach this, what I found with our defense, with that being kind of our rally cry, is we took negative situations and really gained some positive energy from it. And the guys really got excited about the challenge that, hey, we're on the short side of the field, or, you know, this is a backed up situation where nobody expects us to do something here. Let's make something happen. In our first game of the year, for example, our starting quarterback got hurt and we were reeling a little bit. And so we were up 10 points and ended up being down in the second half. And we turned the ball over on the 11-yard line. And this could have been one of those things. We're already losing. You know, not that they could have run out the clock. There was still a little bit of time left. But our defense went out there and got a 4-and-out on the 11-yard line. And then the offense, they got down to the 4. So our offense marched 96 yards to score to win that game. You know, and if we would have just said, it's over, we did our best, it wasn't our fault, et cetera, we don't get the opportunity for the offense to go out there and win that game. And that was just a huge win for us and a catapult into the season. So I think even in those negative situations, which football presents a lot of unfair and can't predict when they're going to happen, but if you take that mantra, you really can get some good things out of it. And a statistic, you know, Coach, I like statistics. So here's a good one that you can really measure, and the coaches out there can kind of tell, you know, how their defense performs in those tough situations. We schedule our plus side starts. So how many times do we start on the short side of the field as a defense? And our attitude is the NFL mantra. We want to hold them to 3 points. And that's a win for us. So out of those times we started on a plus side start, we only gave up a touchdown 30% of the time. So we won, in our sense, with no points or a field goal, 70% of the time with plus side starts. And that's a stat that I'm really proud of for a young defense and things like that, because they really grabbed a hold of that philosophy.
The lessons on the field are obviously huge, and we look back at those. We look at the X and O's. We try to dive in and look into those statistics. But at the end of the day, probably one of the biggest things we need to look at when we go back through our season is, how is our culture? What did we do to either make that better, or what things do we have to do better in the following season? What lessons did you learn about culture in 2017?
Well, you know, I've been fortunate to be a part of some good programs in high school, and there's a great foundation of tradition at Bridgewater College. But we faced some adversity this year in a team that went 4-6, but we had some injuries and some things that were difficult to handle. And what I kind of took away here is that culture, whether good or bad, it needs to be defended all the time. What you're about needs to be defended by your staff, by your players, by everybody in the program. And you can't put it on cruise control and think just because the scoreboard says one thing that everything's okay. And that's a big lesson that I took away, because you look at it, and I think it's easy to be a good teammate when you're winning. And it's easy to do the right thing or practice hard or do those things that we kind of expect as coaches, but it's easy to do those things when the scoreboard's in your favor. And we found that out this season as well. We were 3-0, beat a ranked team on the road, and we were kind of clicking, and then faced some adversity, some of which we caused, some of which was just the way that football goes. But looking back at it, and I'm looking at myself and the entire program, I think we could have done a better job of defending who we are and not make excuses for those things that just because we're winning, we need to tighten this thing up a little bit. And that's something that I'm going to spend a lot of time in this offseason, you know, talking to people about culture and the things that they do. But I think trusting your gut is an important piece in the process of culture. If something smells bad, it usually is. You know, no matter what, don't try to rationalize things away. And then the last piece of your culture, I think you got to remember the seasons are long, and don't get too high and don't get too low, because what's great about this game is, while things can go badly pretty quickly, things can turn around pretty quickly as well, whether it's, you know, from series to series or game to game or season to season. Central Florida is a great example. 2 years ago, they were 0-12, and now they're 13-0. So things can change quickly in your culture, but I think you need to be clear with the definition of who you are as a program and then having everybody defending it at all times.
That's some great advice on culture, Coach. And I know for you, a big part of the culture you try to create, especially within your unit, is a culture of learning. And that starts with being a great teacher. And so give us a little bit of a preview of your talk for the national conference, which kind of revolves around that idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited about this. This is going to be the first time coming down to this. And I've talked to some people who have gone in years past, and they just said it's a great event. So I'm really looking forward to it, and thank you for including me. But my talk is about coaching HD, coaching high definition, and winning the classroom, the football classroom, and the use of technology in doing that. And what my talk's going to kind of focus on is really how can we understand what players are like nowadays, what they need to learn. And really the guts of this talk is how can you know what your players are thinking without actually asking them? A lot of us have been teachers or are teachers, and you know that the worst question a teacher can ask is, everybody understands, right? Everybody's good, you know, because it doesn't matter, you know, if they get it or not. The answer is always yes. Mm-hmm. And with football teaching, it's the same thing. So we've kind of developed ways to ask that question of, does everybody understand without actually asking? That we get down to the subconscious knowledge, and we ask loaded questions to find out that information, whether they know it or not. And sometimes it doesn't have to do with them. Sometimes it has to do with our own teaching. So what I'm going to focus on is kind of developing the perfect meeting using flipped coaching and digital instruction, using the Go Army Edge app, how to use Google Forms and Google Sheets to really interact with your players, and then just looking at some cool technology in football that's cost effective but can really allow your players to get excited about what you're doing and excited about what they're learning, and then ultimately play fast on the field.
And a lot of those apps out there today can get pretty expensive, but I've used some of those. You and I have talked at length about some of the different things you could do in football. This is definitely an exciting talk, and if you're going to the National Conference January 26th through the 28th in Orlando, you're definitely going to want to pop into the room where Coach Everett is speaking. Coach Everett is also working with Go Army Edge, which he mentioned, and we're excited about our new partnership with Army Game Studios and some things that we'll be developing in 2018 and beyond. So definitely an exciting thing for us on that end as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think these are two great organizations that I'm humbled to be a part of, and I'm really looking forward to what 2018 has in store in terms of football and teaching and learning.
Coach, we'll see you in Orlando, and thanks for taking the time to be on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.